Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. We will continue to look ahead to El Clasico in tonight's edition, but we will be starting with the Champions League draw. We have Shaka Hislop, Stevie Nicol, myself, Kay Murray, and also along for the ride, we'll be hearing from Stuart Robson in just a moment. So let's take a look at how things are shaping up. Holders Real Madrid drawn to face Chelsea. Man City are going to take on Bayern Munich, though. Those teams are on one side of the bracket. On the other side are three Italian teams featuring in the quarterfinals for the first time since 2006, Interplay Benfica. Milan were drawn against Napoli. Luis Garcia is with us too from Barcelona. We're going to get the reaction from our panel this evening. Luis, what's your overall reaction to the draw?
Actually, it was fun to watch it. It was fun to see one side of the bracket. The other one, with all my respect to, of course, Milan, Napoli, Inter, or Benfica. I think it looks very exciting, the other side. Just watching Real Madrid playing again against Chelsea after what we saw last season, what they did on that amazing comeback at the Santiago Bernabeu. This season for the Real Madrid side is going to be different because the second game is going to be in England. And of course, the other one, seeing Pep Guardiola going back to his former club against Bayern Munich, is also, I think, one of the most exciting games. It could be perfectly a final. And with all those four who is going to get into the semi-final, they're going to face each other. So it's going to be a long, long season for those teams trying to reach the final. But quite exciting. I can't wait to see what of the Italian teams is going to manage to get into the semi-final too.
Stuart, how about you? What's your overall reaction to the draw?
I would say it's a great draw for Napoli. Napoli, the leaders of Serie A by some 18, 20 points, whatever it is. They've been superb all season. They've got every chance of getting to the final now. They're the best team in that bottom four there that you just saw. They've got every chance of beating Milan, who I did at the weekend and weren't particularly good in a 0-0 draw against Salernitana. I think they're better than Benfica and they're certainly better than Inter. So every possibility we could have Napoli in the final. What a great occasion that would be.
Do you mind the way that the bracket's gone this time, where we've seen one side looks, as it stands by recent form, a lot stronger than another side?
Yeah, personally, I would prefer that we had a draw after these games. I don't like the way that they kind of... They've kind of taken a little bit of excitement away, you know. And now, yes, we're talking about it's better being in the bottom half of the draw. That's not... We shouldn't be talking about that. We should just be concentrating on games. Mano v Mano, whatever you want to call it, and then we're going to get another draw when we find out
that.
Who the winners are. So... Yeah, I think if you're Napoli, you're delighted. But from a fan's point of view, I don't like the way that they do this.
Shaka?
I'm with Steve in that I would like to see a draw after each round and just that little bit of excitement. As far as how it pans out, I'm with Stuart in that if you're Napoli, you think it couldn't have gone any better. Benfica, maybe a little bit of an unknown quantity, but you know... AC Milan and Inter Milan so well. You've shown that you're better than by leaps and bounds so far this season. And then what looks like the four toughest teams, Chelsea's league form apart, Real Madrid's as well. You're happy to avoid those. And it's a little bit of a toss-up as to if you're Napoli and you're thinking about the final, it's a little bit of a toss-up as to who gets there, just because of how tough that upper half of the draw is. I'll say that, I mean, what can you say? You respect the draw for what it is. You know that if you want to win this competition, you're going to have to come up against some very tough tests. If you're City or Bayern Munich, you're hoping that those tough tests come a little bit later on. Head-to-head, the winner of that one you'd fancy as getting to the final against... who you think from the bottom, Napoli, as we said.
But given that it is, say, like a Bayern and a City, rather than waiting to the final, you get to see these two teams play twice at this stage. So maybe you do get a bit more excitement than just having to wait for a one-off game between the two.
No.
Well, see, here's the thing. We could have got that anyway.
Yeah.
We could have got that anyway. You know, I think Real Madrid-Chelsea is an exciting game, as is City and Bayern. That's an exciting game. I think AC Milan-Napoli is exciting as well. Listen, the fact that Napoli, on paper, are easily the better side in that supposed bottom draw, we've still got to play the games. And that's always been a problem for the favourites. You've got to play the games and actually get through. I mean, Shaq is talking about the final for Napoli already. I mean, again, that's another reason why we should be doing it. But look, we're going to get some great games regardless. But again, we're sucking a bit of the air out by knowing what's coming. Sometimes it's better not to know what's around the corner.
Sometimes it is better not to know what's around the corner. We do know, though, that it's Real Madrid taking on Chelsea. Just taking a look at the odds for this clash as well. Chelsea, as we know, have not been having their best season so far. But we have seen some unlikely wins from them in this competition before. Now, I must say, this was recorded before the draw was made. But speaking to Graham Hunter for ESPN was Christian Pulisic saying that he thinks Chelsea cannot be counted out this season.
I wouldn't want to play us in the Champions League. I'll say that much. I think we were in a similar situation as far as last time we won the Champions League halfway through the year. Struggling in the league, a lot of people counting us out, and look what happened then. So I'd say this year, I think, has it been easy in recent weeks? No, but I'm proud of the way that the team has overcome it in the last week we've had. But, you know, getting three wins in a row here, feeling a lot of confidence now, and it's crazy how fast things. I mean, you know how fast things can change in football. It's the snap of the finger. That's what it is. It's all of a sudden you start to feel that confidence, and you start to, you know, especially with a team with a lot of new players, you start to feel each other out a little bit more. And yeah, the team all of a sudden looks like a dangerous team to play against.
And now, speaking as a fan again, not as necessarily as a teammate, of the new ones, who's impressed you, not most, but who have you gone, yeah, and why?
Of some of the new players you said at Chelsea?
Yeah.
I think, it's impossible to just pick out one. I think some of the guys who have come in so naturally, it felt like, for sure, Enzo Fernandez, the way he's come in. And I mean, after you have a World Cup like that, I think he's the confidence aspect is there. He knows that he can play in the biggest games in the world. And he's come in, you know, with you know, a big price tag, and I have to give him credit. I think he's done a good job. I think the way he passes the ball is clear. The way he can, you know, dominate a midfield, I think is impressive. And I think he's a really strong young player, for sure. But there's, other guys, Joao. I think Benoit, for example, a center back who's coming in and shown a lot of, you know, just a calming presence back there when things weren't even going great. I think there's a lot of guys that deserve credit, but all of the guys have come in and meshed quite well, I will say.
When you stand back from afar and look at it, you think, well, if this clicks, it's going to be a powerful squad, a powerful 11. Again, putting you on the spot, not everybody from the same country shares ideas or similar, but you do have relatively new owners from the States. Have you met Todd Boehly? And what impression has he made on you so far?
Yeah, I have met him. I think he's quite hands-on. He likes to deal personally with the players and coaches. I think he's done a good job about that. We obviously have the whole American thing in common, so we always chat about that. I think he's a very passionate man, and I think although he may be newer to the sport and learning a lot about the sport itself, I think especially from a business point of view, I think he understands very well, and I think he's made adjustments that may not work overnight, and that's what we've seen. But I think he's creating the environment that he would like, and I think it's moving in a good way. I will say that. I think we've already seen improvement, and I think there's a ways to go as well.
Luis, are you giving Chelsea a chance here against Real Madrid?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. He just mentioned the three games that they have won in a row. They got so many players. They can rotate. Games are coming thick and fast. As you know, we're going to have international break. We don't know what Real Madrid is going to face after the Clásico that we got at the weekend. But we also have a Clásico on April 5th. And then they have to play against Villarreal, two very tough teams, just before facing Chelsea. I'm not saying that Chelsea is not going to face also a difficult game, because they got, I think it's Liverpool and Wolves before facing Real Madrid. But the most important one that I think that is for Real Madrid is that the second game they're going to play away. And that's something that for Real Madrid is very important. We've seen Real Madrid improving, getting a comeback, making that animal, different animal that they are when they play Champions League, not in the in La Liga at the moment. But they are special, but much more when they play at the Bernabeu, when they are going to play the second game away. So I think this is a major factor in this moment when you play the second game, not having that second goal, that double goal when you play away, not having it in right now, is a key factor when is happening in your team. And I think Chelsea's got that in their advantage.
What do you think, Robbo? Can Chelsea spring a surprise again against Real Madrid?
They could, because the game is coming at the moment. It looks like the right time for Chelsea, because they've just started to find a bit of form. They're still not, you wouldn't say a top side, but they were good to get through to this round. They played well in the home leg. The last two league games have been quite good. What I would like to pull up on what Pulisic said was that when they were doing badly before, they won the Champions League. The difference was they sacked the manager, and Thomas Tuchel came in and took over a side that was struggling under Frank Lampard. And that was the big, big, big change that they made. They changed the manager and they went on to win the Champions League. I'm not sure they're going to do that this time.
Who have you got, Shaka?
It is close to call for all the reasons that the guy just said. And as much as Chelsea aren't having a great season, nor Real Madrid by their own standards, and it's as good a result, and well, maybe if you want to say performance, particularly at Anfield, like against Liverpool that Real Madrid saw in the Champions League, that was as good as we'd seen from them. And as we'd seen one game against Manchester United apart, Liverpool have been decidedly average themselves. So I'm not sure that beating Liverpool at Anfield in the first leg of their Champions League encounter really makes Real Madrid the team that we thought or we saw of last season. I think this is two teams whose potential are far higher than it's shown, and really it comes down to who shows up on the day. It's tough to call. Right now, you're leaning Real Madrid just because of their own history in this competition, not because you're that convinced by anything they've done on the pitch.
If there was one team that you talk about in a different way when it comes to the Champions League, it's Real Madrid. Listen, when you're trying to analyse a game coming up, yes, you're looking at how they've performed in previous games, and yes, 99 times out of 100, you've got to look at how they're playing in the domestic league and their own cup. I mean, you've got to look at all these things, unless you're Real Madrid, because they've shown that whatever happens outside of the Champions League doesn't mean diddly. It means nothing. And Real Madrid have to be huge favourites. If there was a team in this group that if you asked Real Madrid who would like to play, it wouldn't be Man City, and it certainly wouldn't be Bayern Munich. They would take Chelsea all day. I agree that they would like to be at home in the second leg, but at the same time, you cannot think that Chelsea are close to Real Madrid when it comes to the Champions League.
Well, let's talk about the other tie that's been set on that side of the bracket between Man City and Bayern. Mouth-watering, you could say, just taking a look at the odds of this one. Now, Stuart, City brought Erling Haaland in to win the Champions League. Can you see him being the difference in this tie?
He certainly could be. When you look at one end, you've got Erling Haaland. At the other end, Choupo-Moting is playing centre-forward at the moment for Bayern Munich. And he's doing the job quite well, but he's not in the same sort of stratosphere, really, as Erling Haaland. Erling Haaland's a great finisher. He's got the pace. You saw him leap for a couple of goals in their last game. Choupo-Moting leads the line and he scored goals, but he doesn't actually lead the line by holding up the play and making forward runs and going down the channels. So, yeah, he could be the absolute difference. Bayern Munich are a good side. They proved that against PSG, particularly in the away leg. They didn't have to play quite so well in the home leg. They scored a goal in the second half, having conceded a couple of chances. De Ligt got one off the line. But I would still say Man City, if they play at their very best and they show all their potential, and Kevin De Bruyne, who's a key player for them, plays at his best, they're the better of the two teams. You know, Bayern Munich are a good side. There's no question about it. But I still think they're missing. They're missing a bit of consistency with the players like Kingsley Coman, who's very good against PSG, Gnabry, those sort of players. Musiala hasn't been quite so good since Christmas. So it's going to be tight, but I think Man City are favourites to go through.
Louise, have you been impressed by Man City in the Champions League so far?
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes not. That's what happened with Manchester City this season. I felt that they didn't have that consistency that we've seen other years. But I still agree with Steve. I think that they've got just too much quality on the squad. I'm not saying that Bayern Munich they don't have, but it's a different quality. I think Bayern Munich, when they play, they've been overrunning the opponents. They've been the way that Bayern Munich has been playing is a way that it suits fantastically well to Manchester City. Manchester City is going to be dominant. They are going to have the ball. They're going to try to use the space that Bayern Munich does give to the opponent, because they just commit players forward. They just like to go and attack. And that's something that when you play at the moment against Manchester City, you're going to suffer, because they got pace up front. You got a player that just with a long ball can create a chance. And definitely Erling Haaland can make that difference in these ties. So we'll see what happens, what players are ready to play surrounding him, being satellites for him, because he needs to be assisted. But definitely for me in this chance, I think the Manchester City, they're going to be the favourites to go through.
They'll be the ones going through there for Luis Garcia. I mentioned in there the quality in the Man City side edging out what we see in the Bayern side. But then how much does history and experience in the tournament help Bayern out here?
It certainly does make a difference. But at the end of the day, when you've got the amount of goal scorers and quality that City have, and I'm with Robbo. You know, you look at one side and you look at Erling Haaland, and you look at the other side and you look at Choupo-Moting. I mean, and people will say, well, he's scored four goals in the Champions League. But listen, any decent striker, I've said it before, would score goals for Bayern Munich. But this is a different ball game. And Manchester City aren't giving many goals away. I mean, I think the last 12 games, they've only ever given one goal away. At the most. They don't give goals away in bunches. And Bayern Munich, on the other hand, recently have been giving goals away in bunches. 10 days ago, was it? They lost 3 to Augsburg. A couple of weeks before that, they lost 3 to Mönchengladbach. They lost 4 to Salzburg. So when you look at all of these things to try and separate the teams, you've got one side in Man City who can score in bunches for fun. And you've got another side in Bayern who, at times, with their back line, will let goals in bunches. I got to go with Man City.
Is there a danger Pep overthinks it?
There's always that danger. and that, for me, has been Manchester City's biggest hurdle over the last couple of seasons. For everything that everybody said about this tie, coming into this tie, about City's power, about maybe some of Bayern Munich's vulnerability, has there been a Champions League tie over the last 3 years that City have not gone into as favourites, that we have not gone into saying all these exact same things about Manchester City, yet we sit here without Manchester City winning Champions League? And I think the reason for that is, at times, Pep overthinks those games. At this stage of the competition, just send your best 11 players out. Let them play. At this point, you want to say to Pep, just don't even go in the dressing room. Pick an 11 and just send them out, let them play their natural games, because pound for pound, City are better than every other team. But somehow they manage to get themselves unstuck. And that, for me, is all that it comes down to. If City are allowed just to go out and play, because Bayern Munich, I think, given their experience in the competition, they will capitalise on the slightest misstep. And that's all they're waiting for. All City need to do is not give them that opportunity.
Well, if you would like to see more of that interview with Christian Pulisic and Graham Hunter, make sure to check out our website over on ESPN.com to hear more of what he had to say. The Europa League draw also has thrown up Juventus against Sporting, Manchester United taking on Sevilla, Feyenoord taking on Roma, and it will be Bayer Leverkusen against, Shaki, you're going to say their name better than I am.
Union. I just call them Union.
Oh, you just call them Union.
Yeah.
That's what we're all going to do.
I go with, yeah.
USG.
There you go. Mano v Mano, Stevie. Mano v Mano, we've got it here. Luis, just looking at what we're seeing for Manchester United, Sevilla aren't in the best of form, it's fair to say. Are they going to pose any problems for United?
They will try. They definitely try. I think Sampaoli is trying to get back something of the confidence of the player. Talent has got a bunch of them because they got quality players up front. With the new incorporation, I think they found a little bit of stability at the back, something that from the very beginning of the competition, just selling the two starters for on the centre-backs, I think they was a massive blow for Sevilla. So they struggled during the season, even arriving to relegation spots in La Liga. But again, Europa League is totally different. We all know the experience, we all know the background of this Sevilla when they play Europa League, and Sampaoli kind of picked that up from the manager they were before. And right now, yeah, they can put a little bit of five against Manchester United. They saw what happened against Liverpool, so it's a team that is vulnerable if you know how to make those quick transitions. But of course, in the moment that Manchester United is right now, it's not going to be easy. We're still thinking that why not Sevilla can manage, but at the moment I see Manchester United going through, they just got a lot of talent up front, and well, Rashford is unstoppable at the moment.
If they can both win their respective ties, Stuart, Manchester United and Sporting could face one another. Were you impressed with what you saw from Sporting against Arsenal?
Yes, I was. I mean, Arsenal didn't play at their very best. The one thing about Sporting is that they were able to play around Arsenal, because Arsenal, in the games I've seen them in the Premier League, have outplayed most of the opposition. They've created more chances than the opposition. They've had more possession, and it's been a struggle for other sides to actually play against them. Yes, they've been poor from set plays, Arsenal. But Sporting actually were able to play through them. The game became very open. They looked a very good passing side. They could run with the ball at the right time. So over the two legs, it was a fairly even tie, but I was impressed with Sporting.
Who have you got in the final of the Europa League?
It's difficult to back against Manchester United and Rashford in particular. I mean, it really is. They take the field these days. And obviously, we're looking at Liverpool 7-0, which is just a freak result. But other than that, every time they take the field, you feel as though they're going to win. And that feeling for me hasn't gone away, even as bad a result as it was against Liverpool. So I think if I'm a betting man, I'm putting my money on Manchester United.
Agree, Shaka?
I do. I think Manchester United get the better of Sevilla. And then I think Juventus in the other half of that, half of the table. I think United get there too. And then the bottom half of the table, I'm thinking Feyenoord over Roma. Just the form that Feyenoord have shown in the Eredivisie at the very least. But right now, it's hard to look further than Manchester United in terms of winning this draw, just because of the form that they're in. And the one result aside, I think Erik ten Hag has done an incredible job with this team. They have an identity. You know what to expect out of them. And right now, as long as Rashford continues in this vein of form, just needs the supporting cast to show up. And I see them going all the way.
Well, talking about the likes of Sevilla, you can catch a lot of La Liga action coming up this weekend. Make sure to do so. And if you do want to get a look at Sevilla, they'll be taking on Getafe on Sunday. But it turns out there is a bit of a bigger clash going on up in Barcelona. It's El Clásico at the Camp now, 3 p.m. Eastern. But make sure to catch us for all our coverage building up to it as well. And we'll focus on El Clásico next.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
The fabled El Clasico is quite a theatre, quite a stage. Benzema! Real Madrid! 1-0 up! Valverde! Oh! 2-0 Real! The Clasico goes the way of Real Madrid. And that defeat for Barcelona, a morale-sapping one.
We are in a bad dynamic, bad week, and we need to change it immediately.
It's Real Madrid against Barcelona with a Spanish Super Cup up for grabs.
Lewandowski. Gabi gives Barcelona the lead. Chance here for a second. Lewandowski takes a position. Lewandowski scores!
El rebote está en Pedro.
Footballing revolution gathers pace.
Yeah, he's got a lot of work to do, Ancelotti.
Esto es un momento de dificultad que tenemos que arreglarlo pronto.
A new chapter of this special meeting between these two sides.
Barcelona not at their strongest. There's no Lewandowski and there's no Pedri to knit everything together.
We've got an opportunity with Kessie getting in here and it's a goal.
Good.
And Barcelona get themselves in front here against the run of play.
The Real Madrid, horrendous 90 minutes from Carlo Ancelotti's side.
Today we suffered a lot, everybody worked for the team. We didn't concede any chance for Madrid, so very happy.
9 points and the difference at the top of the table. Real Madrid, of course, they are very much drinking in the last chance saloon.
We are gearing up for a fourth Clásico of the season this weekend. As you just saw, Barcelona won the last two. Here are the odds for the latest meeting. Barcelona favourites coming into this one. Let's now welcome in Alexis Nunes, who I'm sure has been having an awful time in Barcelona. She joins Luis Garcia now. Actually, Alexis, the last time I saw you, you were hanging out with Ryan Reynolds. This time I hear that you've been at Barcelona's media day, conducting interviews. What was the vibe like there?
You know, Kate, it's a tough life out here, but someone has to hang out with Ryan Reynolds, and I'm so glad it was me. Now I'm back with my partner in crime, though. Ryan Reynolds, who? We've got Luis Garcia, and we got to hang out with the likes of Ronald Araujo, as well as Marcos Alonso, who we'll hear from shortly, because I did get to chat to him ahead of this massive El Clasico. And I mean, it was probably the most comfortable, happiest, bubbly Barcelona media day I think I've been to since we've started covering La Liga. It's just a complete change right now. All of the players were so relaxed. Robert Lewandowski strolled in and said hi to everyone, gave high fives to people. You know, everyone from the media managers to the staff that was there were so happy. It was a sunny day. People had their coats off. They were offering us water. I was like, I could get used to this. Barca need to continue winning, because finally, you know, you do see that things are starting to click at Barcelona. And could be for a number of different reasons why they are like that. As you mentioned, they have played Real Madrid in a couple of editions of El Clasico so far already this season. They've got to win the last two that they've managed to play, including that Supercopa win that we were present at in Saudi, where Xavi was just absolutely over the moon. And you just get the sense that something definitely has shifted there. But we know it is El Clasico, and this is one of, if not one of the biggest rivalries in world football, one of the biggest games in world football, certainly the biggest game in this country. And we tend to say that form goes out the rule book when you do go up against a team, especially like Real Madrid, who come at you nonstop. And it was interesting to talk to Marcos Alonso about this, because he actually grew up in the Real Madrid system. Mm-hmm. His grandfather even played for Real Madrid. His father, we know, also played for Atletico de Madrid. So it was interesting to hear his thoughts before what's going to be his debut El Clasico at the Camp Nou.
Well, it's always a huge game. The rivalry is there, and now it's a special moment. But I think until we are not mathematically champions. It's early to talk about the title, but for sure there will be three important points to play for, and we will try to do our best and try to get the 3 points.
Do you feel like you guys, in the last two that you've won, do you feel like you've learned almost a formula to get the better of Madrid now, even though I know it's hard?
I don't think there is a formula. No, each game is a different game, but I can tell we are doing well. I think the team is getting better and better, and we just need to keep our heads down, and now it's a completely different game, so we'll have to be as focused or even more as the previous games and try to get our result.
Well, Marcos Alonso there, of course, as he said, that you're trying to be focused before what we know is such a massive, important game, Luis. But like I said, it feels like something's changed. It feels like such a happier a weight has been lifted off of Barcelona in the last couple of years. We know that there is still a lot of drama going on outside of the club. But for the players, you know, they can't control that. They can only control what goes on the pitch. And like I said, we got to hang with some of Barca's support staff yesterday. They invited us out to dinner here in Barcelona. And one of the things that they said they've noticed that has changed from inside the dressing room is the mentality. They said that Xavi has brought a mentality. And when we talk about mentality, we usually talk about it in reference to Real Madrid, like a winning at all costs, never say die. Do you feel like Barca now are halfway there or have gotten there?
It's arriving there because exactly what you said, Xavi is a very positive guy. He's a guy who everything that happens on the field, you know that he cannot control it once it's finished. So he tried to approach every single game like if it's the last one that he's going to play. He's trying to bring that winner mentality to every single player on the field. At the moment, of course, all that atmosphere that they created, 9 points give you kind of that. If the things
That's
are a little bit tighter, of course, the people maybe around, they're going to be quieter. They don't want to talk about what is happening around. Bad things and good things, but definitely I think that kind of mentality is what is bringing. Now they don't have Dembele, they don't have Pedri, and the team continues thinking about we can win the trophy. They already touched silverware this season, so that gives you an extra boost. 9 points is a big, big gap, and knowing that play against Real Madrid at the weekend, even if you don't win, you're going to still have the chance of having a good gap between the two of you. I think it's very important, and that kind, like you said, the mentality of winning. Let's keep continue winning. And if you don't win, let's think about what we can do to change that that situation. So I think Xavi brought that, and well, it's a joy to watch what is happening around.
Yeah, okay. I mean, Marcos Alonso was definitely not trying to get too ahead of himself with his answers. He was a bit more on the diplomatic side. But Ronald Araujo, we got to ask him, and we said, look, if you guys win this one, surely you're going to win the league. It's going to be like 12 points, right? I know it's Real Madrid. And he's like, do you know what? Yeah. He's like, I think if we win this, we're going to win the league. So that is how they're thinking right now. They're going to treat this weekend's El Clasico as nothing less than a final.
Oh, Stuart Robson with us. Obviously, we're hearing that the confidence is very high in the Barcelona camp right now, Robbo. They don't always have to win pretty under Xavi as well, we're seeing.
Yeah, that's been the case in the last few weeks, because I don't think Xavi's actually said this is the way we want to play. They still want to control games. They still want to pass it well. They still want to dominate the opposition and win by 3 or 4 goals. Unfortunately, with Dembele out the side, with Pedri out the side, they haven't been able to pass it quite so well. They haven't controlled games as they normally do. So what they've had to do is defend well all over the pitch. And the back four, and it's been a changing back four at times, have defended well. They've thrown their body on the line. The midfield players, the likes of Gavi, have had to work hard to win the ball back. De Jong's had to be better defensively. Busquets has just sat in front of the two centre-halves. So although I don't think he wants them to play that way, when they haven't played particularly well, they've defended well all around the pitch and they've made it hard for the opposition. And that's how they've won games in recent weeks.
We're going to take a look at some of the predictions that you guys have given us. The reason you're not going to see Luis Garcia and Alexis Nunes is just now is because we're going to get those predictions from those two tomorrow. Now, there's been a bit of a differing of opinions when it does come to the predictions. Stuart Robson and myself have both gone for a draw. Shaq has got Barca winning, but Stevie, you've got Real Madrid winning 2-1. Why are you going for an away win?
I just think everybody's written Real Madrid off. Everybody keeps talking about how Real Madrid are not interested and winning La Liga, which I find incredible, absolutely incredible. And the fact that everybody's kind of written them off. The fact that they're going to Barcelona, the fact that if they do get beat, this is absolutely done and dusted. With the players they have and the mentality that that we know they've got, that they haven't always shown in La Liga, certainly, I don't see how Real Madrid don't go and take this game by the scruff and just say to Barcelona, I don't care if you've got, you've got a lead, we ain't giving you this. You're going to have to take it off us. And they're underdogs. Real Madrid underdogs. Yeah, I'm going with Real Madrid.
You don't agree, though, Shaka?
I don't. As much as, well, to Stevie's point, I think Real Madrid are interested in winning the league. They just can't. Barcelona are better. And it's simple as that. And I think as much as it comes down to this game, and this is a game that Real Madrid cannot afford to draw, let alone lose, I think it becomes very open. Barcelona at home with their crowd behind them. Right now, even though Barcelona are winning ugly, I think they're the better of the two teams. Real Madrid have saved their best performances and biggest results for the Champions League. This is all Barcelona have to worry about. There's no safety net in that regard for them. I think on their patch, they get the job done.
Luis, is this Real Madrid's last chance to actually stay in the title race?
Okay, to be honest, you don't win La Liga by winning against your biggest rival. You don't win. Real Madrid is not going to win La Liga winning against Barcelona the weekend, El Clásico. It can get closer, it can do well. Of course, it's a massive team, a top team. But you win La Liga if you don't drop points against Osasuna or against Girona or against Rayo Vallecano. Those are the games that you're going to drop the points and they are going to cost you the league. At the end, Real Madrid against Barcelona is twice a year. They are 6 points. The only ones that you can drop when you go to all those other places when you lose La Liga. And I think Real Madrid, all of us that we watch them week in and week out, we all know that they don't have that consistency this year. I'm not talking about Champions League, we are talking about La Liga. In La Liga this season, Real Madrid has been with ups and downs. We've seen a good Real Madrid, medium Real Madrid, and a lot of quite difficult Real Madrid. So that's why I think that it doesn't matter what is going to happen at the weekend. I think that Barcelona is going to get La Liga this season because of that consistency.
Robbo, what's Real Madrid's best chance here then? What approach do they need to take to make sure that they do take 3 points away from the Camp Nou?
I think it'd be interesting to see in terms of what formation he plays. Well, not the formation, but who he plays. I would imagine he's going to play his oldest players and his most experienced players, the players that can maybe run the midfield. I'd imagine Valverde would then play that little bit higher down the right-hand side and Vinicius down the left-hand side. And they've got to take the game to Barcelona because, as I said a little bit earlier, Barcelona at the moment aren't tearing teams apart with their passing. You know, Lewandowski's not holding it up particularly well. If Real Madrid press them high up the field and they have to go from back to front, Lewandowski's not holding the ball up particularly well. Rafinha struggles to get into games when they haven't got good possession. They can't keep switching the play out to him. Be interesting to see whether he plays Gavi out on the left-hand side and then brings Kessié into the side into midfield because they want to be more defensive. So I think the best way for Real Madrid to win the game is to play on the front foot, first of all, defensively on the front foot, and then play their game from there. And when they're clever in and around the box, they're second to none at times, Real Madrid.
A very exciting weekend ahead in La Liga. El Clásico coming up on Sunday. Make sure you are with us for it. Luis Garcia and Alexis Nunes will be back tomorrow with more of the build-up from Barcelona, but be sure to catch all of our coverage, particularly on Sunday as we build up to the big game. El Clásico at the Camp Nou. Dan Craig and Ale will be in studio. Ian Darth and Maka will be on the call, and you've just seen some of our team that are up there in Barcelona. There'll be plenty of them, including Alessandro Del Piero. El Clásico watch party as well in Los Angeles, if you're in that area, at Tom's Bar, and a chance to meet with Hugo Sanchez, who will also be there. So will Hercules Gomez.
Just so you know.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Some quarterfinal action in the FA Cup coming up this weekend, and a very interesting tie here between Manchester City and Burnley. It is Pep Guardiola against his former captain Vincent Kompany, who has his side flying high at the top of the Championship. Pep Guardiola did speak about facing his former player ahead of the game.
Since day one, how he helped me. So arrived here from another country, I don't know the Premier League, and his distribution in the locker room, in the bad moments, how he make all the time a step forward to help the team. Of course, personally to me, say the things what he believes is the best for the club. So he was an exceptional captain, a top human being. After seeing his teams, I'm more than convinced these 2 days, I'm more than convinced that he's going to come back. But the fact when I said, when I make weeks ago, I said my feelings, this I don't know, but it's going to happen.
Make sure to catch the quarterfinals this weekend on ESPN Plus. You'll be hearing Stuart Robson on the call for some of these games. You'll also see studio wraparound coverage on the Man City Burnley game and the Manchester United Fulham game as well. Nottingham Forest lost to Newcastle 2-1. It was a comeback win for Eddie Howe's men. Alexander Isak with two goals on the night. One of them a very late penalty as well. Newcastle definitely knocking on the door when it comes to those top four spots. Shaka, happy what you saw with your former side?
Yeah, I thought Newcastle played particularly well. Forest are a decent team, but then Lady Luck not really with you, and then that call goes against you, but you keep going to the end and get what I felt. I thought Newcastle would be better than two.
And still another game to play, as you can see here. Stevie, have you got Newcastle? And we're changing every week who's going to take that top four spot. Who are you saying today?
I'm still going to stick with Spurs.
Got his first. Last time I talked to you, it's Liverpool. Yeah.
No, but he's sticking with the only time before that.
I didn't intend to go on every night, but
that was about a week ago.
It was about a week ago. So you're sticking with Spurs now.
I'm going to go with Spurs.
What about what you've seen from Newcastle, Robbo? Do you think they can nick that fourth spot?
Well, they're back playing to somewhere near the best, and the manager's made a good decision to get Isak back in the side. He was easing him back by playing him, you know, in the second half of games. Callum Wilson was having a really poor time, the centre forward. I thought all their build-up play was good, and Callum Wilson was letting them down to a certain degree. But they looked to be back to where they were maybe a month or so ago before they had their poor run. They played at pace, they got crosses into the box. Isak led the line really well. It was a good performance from them. They deserved to win by more than just the odd goal today.
Top four for them though, Stuart?
Yeah, well, actually, it was last Friday. We all said Liverpool. Then they lost it to Bournemouth. And then we obviously all gone away from that. I still don't fancy Spurs at the moment. So I'm going to go with Newcastle with the bit between their teeth, with Isak playing well and maybe a settled side from Eddie Howe. It's a disappointment they won't have Almir on, though.
That Stevie's going to change his mind next week anyway. Probably. Newcastle next week.
And see he's stuck with them.
Some big news from... Oh, yeah, bottom of the Premier League. Let's go to the relegation battle, obviously, because obviously what we've seen from Forest there today is so tight there at the bottom. Pretty much, 5 points within so many teams. And you can see many of those teams that are at the bottom. Bottom three as it stands, Bournemouth, Leeds United and Southampton. What are your thoughts on it, Stevie?
It's honestly hard for me to look past the bottom three. I would put my money on the bottom three being there at the end. At the same time, as you can see, all the way up to Palace, I mean, a couple of freak results for any of those three and all of a sudden they're way up in 12th place. So, as much as I'm saying the bottom three right now, it's not going to take an awful lot to get yourself out of it. At the same time, these three look as though they don't know how to win a game of football. Unless you're Bournemouth against Liverpool.
Oh, right, unless you are that.
But as I said, generally over the season, these three teams look as though they don't know how to win a game of football. So I'm going to stick with them.
Crystal Palace haven't won a game of football in this calendar year. It's ended up with Patrick Vieira being sacked as manager there. Was it the right decision, though, Shaka?
I can't make any sense of that decision at all. As much as, yes, Crystal Palace haven't won a game this calendar year, when you look at the games that they've played, they lost to Southampton 2-1, they lost to Aston Villa 1-0. Those are the only two results that you could say maybe weren't great. Other than that, you lose to Man City, you lose to Man United, you draw with Man United, you draw with Newcastle, you draw with Brighton, all these teams in form. And now, between now and the end of the season, you have two games that don't involve teams around you. You've just endured your toughest spell. Now, all of a sudden, when this is going to determine where you finish at the end of the season, you decide to sack your manager and upend everything. Now, just from a footballing perspective, I thought it was a poor decision. Even more so when you consider the job that Patrick Vieira has done, when you consider the team that he inherited a couple of seasons ago, a team that was barreling towards the championship, lost a bunch of their senior players, was given a remit of bringing players through from the academy, getting this team playing attractive attacking football, keeping them in the Premier League. I think he's done so. Crystal Palace had the lowest spend of every single Premier League club last summer, between the last two transfer windows, and yet still you have them playing a brand of football that you asked him to. He's bringing young players through, and now at the end of their toughest spell, you decide to part ways with the manager. It makes no sense. It makes no footballing sense, and I can go on. There are deeper issues with this for me. I will take this moment to point out that now with Patrick Vieira's sacking, there is not a single black manager in England's top flight in the men's or women's game. Callum Wilson this week was speaking about why black footballers don't go through with becoming managers. And then you see this happen in real time, and all you can do is throw your hands up and ask for a better explanation.
And it looks as though now there's going to be problems ahead, Stuart, because they've got Arsenal next. Do you fear that they'll get sucked into that relegation battle?
I feel they were going to get sucked into it if they kept Patrick Vieira as the manager. I totally disagree with Shaka. I've seen Palace play a lot recently. They haven't had a shot on target for the last four games. And there's always one side that comes tumbling down. There's two actually at the moment. Leicester are in danger of doing so, and Crystal Palace are in danger of doing so. I've seen Patrick Vieira manage at several different clubs, and I was surprised he ever got the Crystal Palace job. I don't think he did a particularly good job at Nice. I'm not sure he did a great job for New York City FC. There was times when I saw him play or coach the Manchester City youth side, when you could hear all the information that was coming from the side of the field. And I was surprised how little information was coming from the side. And what the information was, wasn't particularly good. So I would actually say it's the right thing for Crystal Palace to do. They've got more chance of surviving now than they had with Patrick Vieira as the manager.
OK, well, we'll see what happens this weekend in the Premier League, and make sure to stay tuned with us all weekend here on ESPN. And so download our podcast if you'd like bonus content and to stay up to date with all the biggest issues and talking points in world football.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
and what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
In the Serie A today, Sassuolo beat Spezia 1-0 and Atalanta had a comeback win against Empoli. Those are the two wins on the night on Friday night in Serie A this weekend. It's the Derby d'Italia on Monday between Inter and Juve, one to definitely look out for in Italy's top flight. Dutch Eredivisie is looking like this, and it is Ajax against Feyenoord, the top two teams facing off on Sunday, 9:30 Eastern. You can catch that game on ESPN+. But remember, the big game this weekend is El Clásico at the Camp Nou. Barcelona taking on Real Madrid. And in the latest edition of the Bicycle Diaries with Martin Einstein, he caught up with Robert Lewandowski.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
Robert. Thank you for cycling with us.
Pleasure, huh? Thank you very much for inviting me.
Are you ready?
Always I'm ready.
The day is a very good day.
It's amazing, yeah.
Okay, let's go.
Okay, let's go.
You were very clear about which your next club will be. It was Barcelona.
Yeah.
Why?
I saw the potential in the team, even that the last 2 years ago that Barcelona had a big problem. I saw the challenge for the club, I saw the challenge for me. But I want to be the part of this club because, you know, I know it, how big is this club, what we can achieve together, and I'm trying to find something new in my life.
Xavi Hernandez said, you changed the club's mentality or the locker room mentality. Why he said that?
The football changing all of the time. Always. 10 years ago, that was, you know, everyone want to play tiki-taka. But that time, you know, if you compare, that changed football more physically now. Because now more tactic. Everyone knows how to prepare to the game tactically, defensively, how to move, how to change the system during the games.
And right now, Barcelona is winning games that in the past, it was impossible to win. But the philosophy is not in those games.
Well, you have to be focused first to build really strong defense. First things is to win the game, to be on this way like the winners. Maybe next step will be to bring more situation and score more goals. The perfect example is the game against Inter Milan in Camp Nou. Mm-hmm. If you score 3 goals in Camp Nou in Champions League at home, you cannot concede also 3 goals.
So there's a lot of young players, very talented ones in Barcelona. What would be your advice to them?
I already won 10 titles, like 10 times La Liga, you know, and if you think that you have 18, 19 years old, that probably for most of them is the first time maybe they're gonna win the La Liga. Self-confidence that you get after the titles.
Okay.
That maybe the players getting better in the future, they are more powerful on the pitch.
It's a boost.
Yes,
it's a boost.
It's something, oh, I already won something. Okay, yeah. I want more.
Okay. Why is it so difficult to play against Real Madrid?
Because they have a lot of good, amazing players. They have experience, they have already, they achieve everything and a lot. So you see also how self-confidence they're playing.
Let's talk about coaches. You have had the best ones.
Dortmund, Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah.
Bayern Munich, Pep Guardiola, Ancelotti, Henkes, Hansi Flick, you know.
Tell me about Carlo. How about is Carlo?
Oh, he's the guy who give me amazing self-confidence.
Okay.
He give me just what I, that time maybe I missed. He's amazing human, you know. He's the guy who take care of you.
Yeah.
And for him, more important things is to be good guy than talking all to do too much tactic, you know.
This Sunday will be Robert's first Clásico at the Camp Nou.
For me, something special, something amazing, but always, if you play in Camp Nou,
yeah.
Always when I'm going in on the pitch, some extra powers, you know, this feeling that, you know, they call my names. It's like, oh, come on, I'm ready. I want to play already. I want to score the goal. I want to win the game. And it's like, wow, I'm playing here. It's because the stadium, it has history, it has magic. And you feel that. You feel that when you are on the ground.
You like the hats?
Really? I mean, you know, like,
I think about you. We need to be protected, you know?
Yeah, yeah, because the of the sun, yeah, here. Because of the sun, yeah.
This is Barcelona's lifestyle. I wanted to introduce it to you. Not a bad place, huh?
Not bad. Not bad.
Come on. Robert, what would you tell to that Robert Lewandowski that was dreaming when he was 5, 6 years old that life was going to bring to him?
Don't listen to people who don't want the best for you. And go with your heart, what you have inside, when you want to go or when you want to be. Never give up, working hard and thinking that everything is possible.
I have one more surprise for you.
Okay.
Okay, and this is typical, huh? Look at that.
Thank you very much.
We are in every detail with a star that moves with the wind.
Look, we're working, sir.
Yeah, it works. Look at that.
Yeah.
Cheers. Thank you very much for your time. It was a pleasure.
For me as well. Thank you very much. Natural pineapple.
This is the Bicycle Diaries. See you for the next journey.
Well, that was a nice Bicycle Diaries, wasn't it? Let's see how Lewandowski fares in El Clasico. Barcelona against Real Madrid coming up Sunday, 3 Eastern. You can catch all the coverage, wraparound coverage right here on ESPN+. And that will do it for the latest edition of the show. But Stuart Robson is still with us.
You know, get us one of these hats.
One of the hats and one of those nice drinks as
well.
Underneath
the, it's windy yeah. And
extra time is coming up next. Stick around for that. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. It's all the S's tonight. Stuart, Shaka, Stevie and Sheila.
Sheila.
All right, first question. Sheila, mate. How great is it to surely know that an Italian team not called Juventus or a Portuguese team will definitely be in the final ahead of your usual Spanish and English dominance in recent years? Stuart.
It's great that Italian sides are doing well because the national game obviously took a bit of a hit when they didn't get through to the World Cup, which is the second World Cup running. But yeah, I'm pleased for the Italian sides, particularly Napoli. I think they've been excellent this season. Inter have had a struggle at times, so have AC Milan. But Napoli are a very good side and I think they've got every chance of getting into the final.
It's going to be very interesting to see what happens. For Shaka, what's one thing that never fails to make you laugh?
I laugh a lot. That could be any number of things. Steve Nichol, yes, you're absolutely right, Sheila. Steve Nichol.
It's the way you stared at your last answer.
Do you know if you're a comedian and you need your confidence building, he's your man. I don't think I've ever heard him not laugh at somebody's joke.
Well, he always laughs at you, Stevie. It's fair to say. Well, with you,
yes.
Not at you.
I beg your pardon?
And at him, both.
Say that again.
I thought he was going to answer you straight away there.
Shaka, why are you laughing at me? What are you laughing at?
I'm just enjoying the evening, Stephen.
Something I don't know.
What do you think, Shaka?
I'm easily amused, okay? I'm not sure where we start with that.
Oh, always great to have Shaka on the panel because you're right. He'll always laugh at what you say and you feel great. Is it genuine, Shaka?
Remember, I saw the other side of him. I saw the other side of him when he was a West Ham player and his kids went to the same school as my kids. He was a different sort of animal then. Miserable, flash. Arm out the side of the car.
Everybody knows you're lying. Everybody knows you're lying. Everybody does.
Given all that.
You were a poser. Shaka, admit, you were a poser.
McGregor on the way to the school with the kids.
Yeah.
Conor McGregor. Shaka McGregor.
What was his number plate, Stuart?
Shaka 1. I mean, who has a number plate? Who can be as flash as that? I mean, that sums Shaka Hislop up. Shaka 1.
He loves a giggle.
I had a vanity plate, I admit.
Well, you've grown up.
Nothing else.
You've matured.
A vanity plate would kind of look odd in my Ford Fusion Hybrid.
No, actually, you know what's happened? He's had 5 kids. That's what
you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
That'll take the edge off it.
That will take the edge off.
Robbo always brings up that number plate.
Always. Every opportunity. For no reason. And none of it is true. Well, never played true.
The other bit is true.
None of the other bit.
Did you have a Maserati? Was it a soft top Maserati? That's all I'm asking.
No, it was not.
Well, what was it?
It was a hard top.
That's all right.
All right, Stevie, who do you think will win the Ballon d'Or first? Haaland, Mbappe or Vinicius?
I tell you what, Man City win the Champions League this year. Haaland's got to win it, hasn't he? Because if they win it, you know he's scoring more goals. So it's got to be Haaland, isn't it?
All right. There's a few, we could look at it a few ways, though, couldn't you? Vinny's had a standout season. If they go on to win it, then he stands out. Mbappe getting into the final of the World Cup.
It's not a very strong argument you're putting up here.
So Haaland.
It's actually very weak.
I vote Mbappe.
You actually sound as though you don't believe what's coming out of your mouth.
I was ready to move on.
I mean, really.
Right, will Patrick Vieira manage in the Premier League again? Possible candidate for the US men's national team?
That US men's national team job, goodness me.
I can't believe Paul's got rid of him, Shaq, to be honest.
Stop trying to wind me up. It makes absolutely no sense to me. And I know the link with Roy Hodgson. Anyway, don't get me started on that either. But
yeah, there was a bit of a disagreement between Stuart Robson and Shaq Hislop in the main show tonight.
Stu doesn't like what he hears from him.
Tell you what, by the way, I didn't know that though, Stu. I didn't know that. Not one shot on goal in the last 4 Premier League games. I didn't know that. If I knew that, I might be thinking differently.
And I think, Shaka, if you spoke to most Crystal Palace fans at the moment and anybody involved in Crystal Palace, they said the club was only going one way and that was down at the moment. They couldn't see where the next win was coming from. And he wasn't the sort of manager who wanted to change things and have a go at players. He wanted it all nice, free and easy. And the way they were going was only one way down.
But to that point, you look at the run of games, you've got Arsenal to come now, but then you've got teams lower down in the table. And of all the games that I listed that Palace have not won, and we spoke about them this kind of year, none of them, be it Man City, Manchester United, they've lost by more than a single goal. And so at least, whatever you make of it, Palace are in games till the end. Mm. And I reiterate, this is a Palace team that has not spent any money. Club have not backed Patrick Vieira, certainly financially, and then the expectation is to pull up trees as he did last season. I mean, if you're being judged on games against Man City and Man U and Liverpool and Newcastle, then yeah, sure, sack everybody.
Well, that's the way football's going at the moment. You know, I don't want to see any manager sacked, but the way things are happening, when a team starts to struggle and doesn't win for 12 games and they don't have a shot on target for 3 or 4 games, the manager, the chairman thinks, do I let this carry on and we might get relegated, or do I make a change and maybe get a reaction from the players? And that's what quite often happens. We talked about it earlier when Tuchel took over from totally the opposite way. Tuchel took over from Lampard. They went from being a poor side or an average side to winning the Champions League because there was a reaction. And I think that's exactly what the chairman has done. He's decided, I need a reaction from the players. I need a reaction from maybe the fans to say, I'm willing to do something. And maybe it'll change our fortunes, because if I don't do anything, we could get relegated here.
But here's what will happen. Some usual name on the managerial roundabout will come in because it's safe, and we Crystal Palace will just be doing this, will rinse and repeat again in next few months. I mean, if you're making that kind of a decision to move the club forward in some kind of significant way, then I say, all right, it's your money, it's your club, fair enough. But if all you're doing is rinse and repeat on some idiocy, well then that's on you, and I stand by my criticism.
Apparently, let's talk about Harry Redknapp coming back, and maybe you being the goalkeeping coach and you taking another big pay salary.
That makes perfect sense to me. That makes all the sense. There's a Maserati out there with my name on it, literally.
If you keep them up, they'll buy you one.
It's a possible candidate for US Women's National Team, though. Obviously, he has the experience he does in MLS. Yesterday, we didn't get to it. I know they're talking about on Football America's. Thierry Henry's name has been linked with the US Men's National Team job.
Why?
Why not?
What's he done, coaching-wise?
So you don't think he'd be a good fit there?
Well, what's he done, coaching-wise? He's not done any of them. He has no CV for him to take over the US Men's National Team. No CV at all, other than what he did as a football player.
So you wouldn't be okay with the fact that he has had experience in the likes of Belgium, he's been at Montreal, he had experience at Monaco.
And what did he do? He hasn't done anything.
Bad experiences.
Listen, if I'm a supporter of any club and we're going to pick a manager, right? And they say, right, listen, we're not, forget the name on the back of the shirt. What do you want your manager coming in to have on his CV? And you're going to say success. We want somebody who's actually had success, who has proven that they know what they're doing, who's a proven leader, a guy who can take a team to success. And so why wouldn't we want them? Instead of, well, let's go and get the greatest player that ever kicked a ball, but coaching-wise, has no CV. That can't be right. That shouldn't get you a big job. The USA is a big job. And you're going to give somebody that job who has no proper coaching experience, really, or success experience. That's what you want most of all. You want somebody coming in who has had success. Now, I'm not saying you have to have won the World Cup or anything like that, but some sort of success, something that shows that you can lead men somewhere near the top. Well, he doesn't have that at all.
Robbo, next question is for you. Go on.
Stevie's absolutely right. His spell at Monaco was an absolute disaster. He didn't last very long. At times, he was sending the team out and he'd go and sit on the bench during the half-time team talk. He wasn't, because he was upset and he didn't know how to handle the players. It was a disaster at Monaco. So he's got no CV. Stevie's absolutely right.
So it's a big no from the panel here. Well, two of them. Robbo, for the plebs like myself and many others who can't really afford Premier League ticket prices, what's a good lower league derby game for a tourist spending a weekend in London?
A lower league derby. That's a good one. I'm trying to think what the lower league derbies are at the moment. Any visitor to London should always go and visit Millwall, because you get a nice atmosphere there. You get a nice cup of tea during the half-time.
Warm welcome.
A really warm welcome. it's a nice stadium. Go and meet all the other fans, the Millwall fans, and ask them how they're getting
on. Stand in the away end.
Yeah, stand in there.
Hang on.
The home team serenades the away team.
Sergeant Barnes is a regular contributor with questions to Extra Time. There's a little bit of tongue-in-cheek with you saying he's going to get a warm welcome at Millwall. Maybe it could be another club that he would go and visit, OK? I'm just protecting our viewers.
There's a Molotov cocktail come into the warm welcome region.
Shaka, a good team in London to go and see?
Charlton. Go see Charlton.
Against?
Anybody. I honestly can't remember.
Who's where?
Yeah, who's... Which London clubs...
Look at the elite.
And the lower leagues. You've got Charlton, Millwall, Leighton Orient.
QPR.
QPR is a good place to go.
They're all in different leagues at the moment. QPR versus Millwall was on a couple of weeks ago, and my son went to that game, QPR Millwall, and said there was a lovely atmosphere inside the stadium.
Did you get home all right?
No, I think he started all the problems. Don't worry about that.
QPR's got an easy ground to get to, though.
QPR's good.
Whoever is playing that weekend. Shaka mentioned that day that he maxed two credit cards before 2008. Did he ever wonder what caused the 2008 financial crisis?
I maxed those credit cards in 1992. So I'm not sure you could blame the two credit cards for that. That was when I first went to England.
It was still before 2008. Maybe lots of interest accumulated.
You can't blame my two $1,000 credit limit credit cards.
All that interest on top, all those years.
To be fair, $1,000 in 2008 wasn't an awful lot in sterling, right?
In 92. Yeah, I think the exchange rate was about 1.8 at the time.
So $1,000 wouldn't have got you in it.
I got me some boots, that's about
it. Got me some boots, and then he didn't pay his credit card that he maxed out for years and years and years.
I know that he bought... I saw his driving gloves, his leather driving gloves for his Maserati. They'd have been worth £1,000, just those. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Did you have any, like, flag on the back of them?
Yeah.
Stop encouraging.
With a little hole there, yeah, and then the dots there.
Stop encouraging.
Put a flag at the finish. Jack is coming over the finish line. Them
diamond encrusted.
Stop encouraging Stewie, please.
Did you have an assistant to peel a grape for you?
Next question, Sheila.
With only Real Madrid left in the quarterfinals of the Champions League, has Serie A or Liga Portugal surpassed La Liga in competitiveness? Stewart.
I would still say, well, La Liga is still really about only three teams. Two teams this year, Atletico Madrid, haven't quite been at their best and haven't been near the other two. La Liga is still a good league. It's still competitive. We've still seen Sevilla over the years and Villarreal do well in the Europa League. Serie A hasn't had a great time for many, many years. This has been their best one for quite some while. So I wouldn't say that La Liga isn't as competitive as the others. It's just good to see Serie A for once doing well. And that's why they get four clubs in the tournament.
All right, that will do it for the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you so much for sending your questions in. And we'll do it all again tomorrow. See you then.